Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we have, yes, another amazing guest, Gloria Mann. She is an actor. She's a writer. She's a producer. She used to live in Los Angeles, and now she lives in New York City. Awesome. Let's give her a call. She's had a fascinating career, very interesting, and I think she does have a lot to offer you. So let's give her a call. Let's see what she has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hello, Gloria. It's Johnny from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hi, Johnny. I'm great. Thank you.
So I'm here in Los Angeles and you're in New York. And what made you want to first get into this crazy business of acting anyway in the first place?
I was sort of raised by two actresses, my mother, Yonka Mann, and her very best friend, who became my Aunt Connie because she lived with us for 10 years, Veronica Lake.
Okay.
So they introduced to me very early on, and I used to go and see them in shows, and I watched, of course, all of my Aunt Connie's films, like Sullivan's Travels and I Married a Witch and The Blue Dahlia. I watched them all with her. So proudly we hail with Claudette Gobert. So I got a very early introduction to the business.
Wow, and an in-depth one as well. It's not like you just saw someone on TV and said, oh, wow, wouldn't it be great? I mean, you know all the behind stories. You know, you have the foundation of it.
Yeah, so that was exciting as a child to sit there and watch. And my mother was on the Jackie Gleason show, and it watching them both, these two women in action, very young, had a great impression. But once I got into high school, I had an incredible drama teacher, and she was from Broadway, and she really laid a very strong foundation, and that really solidified the decision. And then I went to UC San Diego, got my undergraduate and graduate degree in acting, and then I moved to Los Angeles right after that. I had a job immediately out of school. So.
And you met Robert at the University of California?
Robert is my brother.
My mistake.
The Kathy Confession, which is going to be at the Burbank Film Festival, September 6th, which we're a finalist for Best Dramatic Short, that was the first time we worked together.
Okay.
He wrote and directed it, and that was the very first time we've ever worked together. He's done his own thing, and I've done mine for years.
You've worked with a lot of celebrities in different venues from, like, let's just go with Terry Garr. How is she?
The best. Terry is the best. Terry is an incredible human being. She was amazingly supportive of me, and we became really dear friends, and I just can't say enough about her as a human being. She's incredible, and she gave the best Emmy parties that you could ever imagine, and I could name the people that were there, and you just wouldn't even believe it.
Oh my God.
The best party.
Really? So what about Jimmy Smits?
Jimmy Smits is another one. Incredible human being, wonderfully talented actor to work with. And then when I was in graduate school, he was my dream to work with. And I actually turned down a movie to do that play that I got to do with him because that was how important it was. And, you know, as a young mother in Los Angeles, I had to have health care for my child. So I turned down a lot of things and chose to do great theater at the Music Center, at the Mark Taper Forum, at the Dorothy Chandler, at the Amundsen, so that I could have consistent work for like 3 months at a time. And as you said, this crazy business, you have to do what you have to do to, especially when you're a single mother and you're trying to keep health care for your child and yourself. But I got incredibly lucky very early on. I played right out as well. I was still in graduate school. I got to be Bill Irwin's wife in a show at the La Jolla Playhouse. And I understudied Holly Hunter there. That was really the beginning. I was working with Robert Woodruff at the time, who's a renowned theater director and just absolutely brilliant. He did a lot of Sam Shepard's first works at the theaters in San Francisco and really inspirational.
So you studied with William Esper. Now, did you do two things over there? Did you do a two-year program and you did something called a master class?
I did. I completed his two-year intensive program first with him, yes. And then he invited me to study with him as a master class student right after that. So I went from the two-year program directly into studying with him in his master class for a year. And he was one of the greatest acting teachers, along with Stella Adler Sandy Meisner, who trained him. And then there's Bill Lester.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's really great that you had got to do that. So I pretty much know what you're going to say now if I say Mark Ruffalo.
I almost don't even have the words. I love that brother. He's like a brother to me. We all know what an incredible human being he is and what he does for climate change and his political astuteness and what he's just amazing. And his gift as an artist is phenomenal. I mean, he can do anything from theater to, to being the Hulk. I mean, he's the Incredible Hulk. What can you say?
When you are just on the set for a small time, do you get to talk to, so let's say, like Keanu Reeves or Patrick Swayze or Tom Skerritt?
Absolutely. Keanu and I played football during the take, during Point Break. We were all playing football I had my robe on. He had his clothes on. So in that scene, in between the breaks, we were playing football. That's what we were doing, essentially. I don't know if I should say that, but that's what we were doing.
Yeah, that's good.
And Patrick was a dream. I find, the longer I'm in this business, I find that being a great artist and actor really coincides with being a great human being. And to me, that it's phenomenal to see the consistency in that across the board.
Can you just finish up a play that just wrapped last month?
I did. It was a brilliant play written by Connor McPherson called The Weir. I played Valerie. I had an equity contract, guest artist contract up in Woodstock, of all places. And it was just, I live up here in upstate New York, so it was very close to my house. And it was a wonderful gig to have for a few months. And we ran for a month. And it was just, it was a great experience. I love the theater. I came from the theater. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Laurie Metcalf about this when I've seen her at backstage when she's done theater in New York and on Broadway. And she and I both agree that, you know, when you come from the theater, you just always want to go back to it.
Well, that's good. How did you initially get into the Screen Actors Guild?
My agent sent me up for a job on the TV show 30-something. Peter Horton was directing it, and it was a scene when Nancy had cancer and they needed a resident. And I loved the show at the time. I just was fresh out of school. And I went in and auditioned, and they hired me, and they gave me my SAG card.
That's awesome. So the Cassie Confession, and you were the executive producer, so you put money up for this?
Yeah, I did executive produce some of it along with another person. And another exciting element of the Burbank Film Festival, we're literally going to be just like a few miles away from where we actually shot it.
What is the festival?
The Burbank International Film Festival, where we're a finalist for Best Dramatic Short, is our screening is going to be September 6th at the Burbank AMC 16 Theaters. You can get tickets. It's on all of my social media at GloriaMan22 on Twitter. You'll see it. It's exciting because we've won a lot of awards for this. I won Best Actors for it in another festival. It's done very well. We won Best Noir. It's won Best Writing.
That's pretty cool.
And we also got a distribution deal from Shorts TV.
Was that the goal, to get a distribution deal?
No. The goal of it was to put out a great product, to do a great short film, and to enter it into festivals and to see where it would go. And it just so happens it was at the New York Film Festival, and the Shorts TV saw it, and we got an offer for it.
So it wasn't to like make it so you can get funds to make it into a full-length feature. It was just something that you wanted to make. That way you controlled everything, the look and everything, because if you were the producer on it, you had a lot of say on the final outcome.
Robert did that. No, he would not. I personally don't know how he did it, because he also acts opposite me in it, and he's great, but I don't know how he did it, because he did that, and he wrote it, and he directed it, and then he helped in post as well. So it's phenomenal what he did with this, and I'm just really proud of him that he's gotten so much great responses from it and all these awards. It's nice to have the work appreciated, and that's all you can really hope for. Anything else, that hopefully you'll put out a great product and a great film, and if you get accolades from that, prizes from that, that's gravy. But you hope that you put out a great film that moves people and people enjoy, and whatever else happens beyond that is in the hands of the other realm.
The new up-and-coming actors who want to get in this business, what do you have to say to them?
If you're coming up and you want to be an actor, I actually just wrote two recommendations for two different people for school, and go train. I mean, train. Just train and train and train, and don't stop training. Don't ever stop. because you have to keep your instrument up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we use, and just needs to always be in tune.
Right.
And practice, practice, practice.
You're still doing a play a year.
Well, that's work. You know, that's work. I'm getting paid for that. But to me, I see that as an extension of training. Yes,
exactly.
You're right. I mean, since Bill died, I haven't studied with anyone, but I've done a lot of training from studying with Bill Esper and studying up at Shakespeare and Company with Tina Packer. And that was after getting a master's degree. So,
oh my God, scolding too. Wow.
I'm very serious about my work. So,
wow.
But I also want to always have fun with it and see if I can access the best parts of myself as a person, as a mom, as an artist, and I'm hopefully on the right track to doing the best work that I have inside of me. And that's always the goal for me. That's always been the goal. So,
well, if somebody wanted to find more information about you, what would be the best place to go? Would it just be GloriaMann.com?
I have a website, yes, GloriaMann.com. We also have our Manity Films website, which tells about the projects that are coming up. And then I'm also on Twitter, verified at GloriaMann22, on Instagram at GloriaMann22. And I have a public Facebook page as well, Gloria Mann.
Right. And that's Mann with two N's, M-A-N-N.
That's M-A-N-N with two N's, yes.
So wrapping it up here, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Well, Johnny, no, but thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me to do this podcast. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. And I hope to see you at the Burbank Film Festival at our screening.
Right. I'm actually still, I have that written down on that date right now. I'm going to be checking it out because it's not that far from me.
Oh, great.
I'll definitely be checking that out. Will you be there?
I will be there. I'm flying out on the 4th, and my mother, Robert Mann, will also be there. The cinematographer will be there, and I believe one of the producers will also be there. A lot of our crew is out there in LA that shot with us, so we're all planning on going. It's going to be fun.
So I can get tickets on your website?
You can get tickets on my website. The Burbank Film Festival, also they just tweeted it today, so there's a link to it. So if you go on to the Burbank Film Festival, you'll see their burbankfilmfest.org. You can look for the films and look for the Cassie Confession, and you can get tickets. And it's for the September 6th screening at 10 p.m. at the Burbank AMC 16 Theaters.
Perfect. I love that theater. All right, Gloria. Well, thank you so much for being my very special guest today and taking time out of your busy day to enlighten my audience with some advice and sharing your career with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like more information on Gloria, just go to GloriaMann.com. That's Mann with two N's. Now let's listen to her brother's interview. All right, welcome to the Actors 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we are going to be speaking to Robert Mann. That's Gloria Mann's brother. They have a film called The Cassie Confession, which is screening at the Burbank Film Festival on Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. So let's give Robert the Mann a call and see what he has to offer you. He is a stand-up comic. He is an actor, an artist, a writer, director, producer. He creates his own content. He owns his content. He created a production company, and he created a legal business all the while living his dream. So let's find out how he did that. So now let's give Robert the Mann a call and see what he has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Robert. It's Johnny from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Good, good, good.
I was just introducing you as a stand-up comic, an artist, a writer, a director, a producer. What was it when you were young that drew you into this business in the first place?
That's a really good question, Johnny. Jerry Lewis. No, I don't know. It could have been Jerry. I don't know. My mother was actually an actress, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Yeah. What happened was I just liked to live in a make-believe world when I was younger, and my mom was dating a director at the time. She was doing a film, and he gave me my first camera, and I started making little films. And I always liked playing tricks and doing comedic type stuff also. Just kind of grew from there, really.
Wow. Then when you did stand-up, you did that just as a solo. You just got up and just, did you go for it? Did you write something out, or how did your stand-up career start?
The stand-up career actually started, it was a couple different phases. When I was in college, I went to UNLV for a while, and when I was in college, my father had a nightclub. And so, Yeah, so they would do these talent night kind of thing. And so I was like 18 at the time or whatever I was. So I did some stand-up comedy. I used to do a lot of impressions. And obviously, or I should say ironically, because Jerry Lewis was one of my favorites, I would do Jerry Lewis. But I would do young Jerry. I wouldn't do the older Jerry. You know, the, hey, lady. Oh, no, where's Dean? Oh, Dean, please, Dean, don't do that. No. Anyway.
So how did the Piper...
Piper and Tupper was born out of an accident, believe it or not. And once I got done with college, I graduated from UCSD in San Diego. And then I went to the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco for a while.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so when I decided to move to L.A., which was after that, a friend of mine who I was in school with at UNLV, he was in Los Angeles, so I hooked up with him. And we wrote a play called In By It, Out By Nine, and we went to all the industry people, agents and producers and everybody, and we did it at an improv, at the improv in Los Angeles, on night that they were dark. And so we invited all these people out, and they came for literally an hour of theater, In By Eight, and You're Out By Nine.
That's great.
And so an agent was there, her name was Susie Moore, and she saw us and said, hey, you guys work so well together, you should do stand-up comedy. There's no stand-up team. And we said, okay, we'll do it. We had no clue. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. So what we did is, because we're from a theater background, we had three little vignettes, and we did a piece on John Lennon in a laundromat getting laundry, because I do impressions. And we did that. And he played this Japanese laundromat person. And John Lennon would go in there asking for his shirts or whatever. And he goes, and he would say, oh, you're John Lennon. Oh, very good. And it just went from there.
That's pretty funny. So did you turn those characters into an actual business? Because I see that you made a short. Is that something that you actually put together and actually make money off of?
Yes. Our names are written on the Comedy Store wall in Los Angeles, and we are Comedy Store regulars. And those paid regulars, you know, that was the status you wanted to get to be, paid regulars.
Right.
And the short came years later.
Okay. So The Pumpkin Carver. I mean, you did the movie in 2006, but just recently you distribution in Italy. So that's still a property of yours, a business that you're still outselling, making money on?
Yeah.
That's kind of good, because I was looking at the budget. How do you get from where you come from to become a director with a movie like that has $1 million budget?
Big borrow and steal, actually.
Okay.
Independent filmmaking is very, very difficult. And the first one's always the most difficult, because people will always ask you, well, what have you done? And you have to sit there and say, well, I've done these little college movies, and I've been doing all these home movies ever since I was a kid. And, you know, whatever it is to validate this now feature film that you are in a business endeavor. So you have to try and validate it somehow.
Right. So what's the goal? Because I noticed you do a lot of shorts, because even the Cassie confession, what is that? Is that 17 minutes? I mean, so you're making these shorts for that amount of time. So what's the ultimate business goal?
Well, shorts are not a business endeavor. You're never going to make any money on shorts, unfortunately, because most film festivals are short and a lot of filmmakers don't have the money to make a feature. And I love shorts. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of places other than, let's say, Shorts TV, film festivals, maybe a few other places that will pay for these films. So when you do a short on a business level, I do them for a couple of reasons now. I either do it as a prelude to a feature film screenplay and say, hey, look, here's the short. Here's this feature film screenplay. It's going to have this flavor of this short. This is what it's going to kind of look like. And you can use it that way as a marketing tool and then send it to investors and get your money that way.
Okay.
So it becomes part of the business plan then. So when you make your budget, you say, okay, well, I've made this short film for $20,000. That's in the budget of the feature film. That was the cost of that to help get the rest of the money for the feature. The feature is, let's say, $1 million. Now it's $1 million and $20,000. Because of that short. See what I'm saying?
It's almost kind of like a pilot. Like they just do the pilot and then someone comes to look at it and they may bring the same cast back in, or they may say, great. So it's twofold for you. It's kind of selling a product that you have. It's also showing your work and your skill in order for someone to hire you for something that they already have. They just want you to step in and take over as a director.
Right. And when you're pitching your own project or your script, it's a great tool for a calling card and saying, look, this is what it's going to look like. The investor doesn't have to use his imagination cinematically on some level. They can see it. It's right there in front of them. And they can get excited by it. People always get excited by film. That is the business side of it. Now, the artistic side of it, or just being a filmmaker, you always want to tell a story and you always want to keep working. And so sometimes you do it for that reason too. Cassie Confession, I had this idea and I hadn't made a film in a year or something. And I like to try and do one a year or something, whether I'm acting or directing or writing, whatever I'm doing.
Cool.
And I was thinking of something that I could do relatively inexpensive that we can do, but would have some impact. And these things just come out of thin air. Like I was saying, like Piper and Tupper just came out of thin air. But one day I was just in my bedroom, I was getting ready to go to bed, and for no particular reason, this idea of, you know, I wonder what confessions look like, interrogation room. There's one on YouTube, and I said, well, wow, and I started looking at some of these interrogation and confessions, and I was about a half an hour into one of them, and I'm just going, man, this is great. You know what? I'm sucked into this one high camera angle, and it's just two people in a room. I go, this would make a great short. This would be great. It'd be simple to do, and the production value would be very simple, but you're going to sell it by the words and the story. It's all going to be about the people and the dialogue. And I thought, damn, this I can do. And so I said, I just got to come up with a really good story, and I need a real, real good actor to propel this thing. And I was watching a lot of the female ones, and I said, you know, I'm going to do one with a female. And I go, oh, I know the perfect actor. My sister should be great at it. And so I kind of wrote this for her. It was her birthday, and I said, yeah, I got a birthday present for you. And I gave it to her. And we did that. Now once she got a hold of it, then she came up to me and she said, well, listen, I love it. I love it. It's great, great. But I've got some ideas about the character. So we worked then on the character, and she did a lot of input on the character and how she wanted to portray that character. And so kudos to her. And we worked back and forth, and that was kind of fun. But I'd never really worked with my sister before in this capacity, in a director, actor in film. We did one play together. And then afterwards, after I made that commitment, I said, you know what? I've never really worked with her as an actor. I said, maybe I'll just cast myself as the guy. And I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, to have brother and sister in this film together.
Right. How was that for you, though? Become, you're behind the camera and you have, you know, be the director and the producer, then boom, now you have to be the actor and jump in there. Was that difficult for you to go make that transition?
Well, without sounding egotistical, no. And the only reason that I can explain is because I had all my training when I was a kid. That's what we did. So you had your camera, you had your buddies. So you're shooting it, and when you're in the scene, your buddy is shooting it, right? And so you wrote it, you produce it, you do everything. I used to edit it on my, you know, 8mm, splicing it. I would do all that. And so people ask that question a lot. And like I said, I just happened to be able to do it and separate myself. I can sit there and do all the technical stuff and get the lighting and everything else, have the camera angle, and all that comes before anyway, you know, the directing. So you're it's on paper, so you know what you're going to do. And once I know logistically that my cinematographer and I have got it all set up, the lighting is done, everybody's okay, everybody's good with lighting, okay, great. And then I might have a stand-in, look it over so I can look at the shot. And then after that, I go, okay, pull out, and I call roll, and then we go into it, and I can get into it quickly. And I think also, tell you the truth, stand-up helped you with getting into character very, very quickly also. I think stand-up does that because there's no breathing exercises before you're up doing stand-up. You're just sitting there all of a sudden, hey, you guys got to go up now. Okay, great. And here they are, Piper and Tupper, and you're on.
Karaoke.
Yeah, exactly. And so all that training, now I think some people, it's more difficult. I think some people can't do that, but for whatever reason, those are the reasons I think they are.
It seems like it's in your DNA. Is the second AD, is he the one saying action and cut, or are you still doing that as well?
No, I'm doing that.
Okay, wow. Now, getting back to the Cassie Confession, that screening is Friday, September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Burbank Film Festival?
Yeah, we're doing that, 10 p.m. Burbank.
So after, you're just going to go to the business side, and you're going to move on to your next project?
No, we're waiting on maybe another 10 film festivals. We'll see if we get accepted to some of those.
Oh, wow.
But Cassie has done really, really well. I think we've been in 10 film festivals. We've won 8, 9 awards. Yeah, I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
She was great in Cassie. She is an actor's actor, meaning that she absorbs the role and she takes it extremely seriously. And she's a wonderful, wonderful actor, and she leaves no stone unturned.
Right. If somebody wanted to find out more information about that film, like where could they go online?
You can go to our website, Manatee Films. It's there. You can always email us. On the website, it's probably the easiest way to get in touch with us, manateefilms.com. And you go to our IMDb page, too. There's information there, too. Asia. But manatyfilms@yahoo.com is my email address.
Right. So anyone out there listening, you think you want to be like a writer, producer, director, stand-up, you know, you don't have to limit yourself just to one thing. Robert's a perfect example of someone who's actually out there, who's did it, still doing it, created a business, created a production company. I know a lot of you people want to try that, but this is a person who actually took the action, who's doing it, and is continually do it. Robert, you are awesome. Thank you so much for being my very special guest today. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
No, thank you very much, Johnny. Just the dates there, if you want to come to the film festival, anybody who's in Los Angeles, that you mentioned that you're going to be there.
That's right.
But thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. If you ever get bored and need any more stories, I'll be more than happy to tell some to you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Robert. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
If you'd like more information on this dynamic duo brother-sister team, Gloria and Robert the Man, just go to manatyfilms.com, you know, like the manatees in Florida. So that's where Robert and Gloria originally grew up. That's the Florida connection, hence the Manatee Films. So that's MANNATEEfilms.com, manatyfilms.com. You can get more information on the Cassie Confession and more information if you'd like to attend that screening on September 6th at 10 p.m. at the Burbank Film Festival at the AMC 16. I can't wait to see it. I've already purchased tickets. My wife and I are going to go on a date night. It should be fun. So congratulations to Robert and Karen. We hope you guys win many, many more awards. Stay tuned to Actors 2020 Podcast. We have a lot of amazing guests coming up to finish out season 2. We have Tim Powell. He's a master on self-taping. He teaches at the SAG-AFTRA building as well as the AFI-SAG Conservatory. We have an episode on disabled actors. We have two actors who are autistic, a male and a female, from the United Kingdom who are out there working. We have two men that are starting their acting careers after the age of 50, and they're out there working and doing it. That is pretty interesting. We also have Briani Walker along with newcomer Sophia. So that's the episode to tune into if you want to get your kid in the show business. We're going to show you someone who's out there, been working for a while, is only 12 years old and has a really nice resume. And also Sophia, who's very young, has no experience, and she's just starting out. Now let's take a listen to a sample of Sophia's episode. How old are you?
4.
You're 4 years old, and your mom says that you're pretty cute. What do you think? Do you think you're cute?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you are.
Sure.
Sure. So your mom...
I'll take it.
She is simply amazing. So we're halfway through season 2, heading on to season 3. And in season 3, the format's going to change a little bit. We're only going to put one artist per episode. Only one artist per episode. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm Johnny Keith, your host. Now we're going to end this episode, like we end every episode, with something called The Lesson. Because life is a bitch. Gee, really? Why don't you tell me something I don't already know? Because everywhere I go, people tell me what to do. Hey, go to church, go to school, you treat me like a fool. Now, I don't need religion, culture, or class. You don't like that fact, well, you can kiss my ass. Yeah, I'm white and I rap, you got a problem with that? Loosen up, and don't be so uptight. Take it easy, E, we got the whole night. Yes, I'm psyched, I'm ready to get the show on the road. I don't want to stop, because I just might explode. I'll tell you what, home slice, I'm twice as nice than any bad boy rapper called Vanilla Ice. My lesson, yeah, it's hip. In case you didn't know what I'm here to inform ya, I'm better than snow. I don't moonwalk or dunk like these Michael J's, but I can hold my own. You hear what I say? Now listen, learn, cause here comes the lesson. Lesson 1. Everybody sit down, JK's gonna take you for a ride uptown. Yo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame. Now when it comes to pot, crack, tweak, or blow, stick to the rules and just say no. Because you're young, you're eager, you want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up the booty, cause they'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul is somewhere on the shelf, and you're walking through the streets now talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson 1, it's time for lesson 2. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the hell does it all end? Every time I turn around,
I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a 5 line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life spun out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to hell with this, all man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson. Yeah, final lesson here, of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottle. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle on the climb to the top. It's the same old games. Now I'm kicking ass and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, that was a long, hard crawl. But it was all worth it, I'm a box office draw. Opportunity was there when I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. You can be like me, enjoying fame and fortune. Boom! That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode, bye-bye.